Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, a little bit of London may be coming to the New York Underground. The new head of the MTA, Jay Walder, used to be the finance director for the London Tubes, and he is proposing a deal to share employees and ideas with the London system. One thing Walder has talked about already is a smart card or a system, what they call the Oyster card in London, which is smarter than a Metro card. Let's find out more and generally greet the new head of the MTA, Jay Walder. Mr. Walder, thanks so much for doing this. Welcome to WNYC.
Well, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Is that true, by the way, that you want to trade in the Metro card for something more like London has?
Well, we want to trade in the MetroCard for a new technology. The MetroCard is at the end of its useful life. It's no longer a technology that's being used by systems around the world. And the newer, more modern smart cards are very, very well received by customers. You tap them. They're quick and easy. They offer you greater flexibility. And you can connect them much better to the internet so that people can undertake their transactions that way.
Have you figured out what it would cost to change every turnstile in the system to read a different kind of card?
I think that's the beauty of this. We don't have to change every turnstile in the system. We literally just have to put a reader onto the turnstile that already exists there. So we leverage the infrastructure we already have and make an upgrade to a new form of technology.
Is the main advantage the convenience because it's a tap rather than a swipe, or what do you really get from it?
Well, you know, we found a few things in London. I'll tell you the greatest benefit that we found actually came on the bus system because people were able to board the buses much more quickly. And if you think about that, if you're on a bus, the time it takes for people to board a bus means that everybody on that bus has to wait. And being able to tap onto a bus, literally the Oyster card goes in 200 milliseconds. Being able to board a bus quickly meant the buses could move more quickly. That meant that our customers were happier. It also saved some money for the transit system.
What else do you hope to learn with this employee and idea sharing proposal for New York with Transport of London?
Well, you know, New York and London have often been described as sister cities. I mean, both cities, are about 7.5 million people, and they're very, very similar. And the transit systems are very similar as well. We both have a tremendous subway and bus system in the two cities. Over time, there has always been cooperation between London and New York. What we're trying to do here now is really take that to another level and be able to say if we want to get past, sort of cursory cooperation that takes place, is there a way that we can be able to work together on this? Now, it turns out that in a couple of areas that New York has been struggling with, London has had some real success. And the thought behind this is, as a start, let's draw on some of that. We have been trying, for example, to implement countdown signs at our bus stops, signs that would tell you when the next bus is coming. Tremendously important, tremendously helpful to customers. London now has an operating system that operates across 8,000 buses. If we can draw off of some of that knowledge, if we can get that understanding and see how that has worked there, I think it would be tremendously valuable to us.
Anything else specifically to learn from London?
Well, I think the smart card area is another area where the Oyster card is already in place in London, and we can be learning and sharing. They also are looking at new technology there, and again, I think we can be doing some things cooperatively. I should point out, by the way, that this is a two-way street. There are clearly areas where New York has been ahead of the game, and I know that London is very keen to be able to draw some of our knowledge as well. For example, we have moved much more quickly into hybrid buses, and I think the use of hybrid buses is something that New York has sought to gain knowledge from London. I mean, London has sought to gain knowledge from New York. And equally, we have a bus and a subway car and a rail car fleet that is 100% air conditioned. And it's an area where London has been striving to be able to bring air conditioning to its cars and buses. So I think each city can benefit and learn from the other one, and we may have hopefully found both a cost-effective but importantly a very effective way of being able to share knowledge and work towards some common objectives.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC with Jay Walder, the brand new head of the MTA. He's just on the job less than a month, and we can take your phone calls for him on what we can learn from London or anything else you'd like to say to or ask. Jay Walder at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post your comment or question to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And before we get off London, Mr. Walder, Mike, commenter number two on our webpage, asks, how does public opinion of the MTA here differ from the public opinion of the underground in London? And obviously that's a loaded question since there's so much public blowback against the MTA.
Well, I think I think one of the things that the people at Transport for London are proud of, and I think rightly so, is that there is generally a perception in London that the London Underground has gotten better over the last few years. I think it's focused a very focused effort to be able to do so, and I know that in the customer approval ratings that the London Underground does, that they have hit their highest ratings ever just in the last few months. I think New Yorkers equally understand the importance of the transit system. I think they recognize the tremendous gains that have been made on our subway over the last years with the result of the capital program and the investments that have been made. But I think you also, I've certainly been hearing frustrations that people have, particularly around things like customer information, the simplicity of using the system, cleanliness, station conditions. Those are things we have to work toward.
A reaction to the Oyster Card idea from Barbara in Gramercy Park. Barbara, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. I do not allow anyone to go into my bank accounts. I also do not want to have to check a printout of did they or did they not cheat me. The MTA has a history of cheating people on their Metro card with their machines and with their turnstiles.
Well, I'm sure you'll dispute history of cheating people on the Metro cards, Mr. Walder, but what about for people who are uncomfortable having their bank accounts linked to the MTA?
Absolutely. So let's take this other point. There clearly are people who feel uncomfortable having their bank accounts linked to the MTA, and it's absolutely essential that the new fare card system has an ability for people to quickly and conveniently use cash if they want to have a card that is a cash-based card that they can use in the way they use a MetroCard right now. Our intent would be to have thousands of locations across New York City where you will be able to add money to your card. And if you walk in with a $20 bill, you'll add money to the card, and it will be done.
You are finance director of the London system, and MTA financing seems to be in constant crisis here. We just went through the very contentious battle in the state legislature, as you know, over the Ravitch plan for a payroll tax to fund the MTA, which was approved, and East and Harlem River bridge tolls, which were defeated. Do you have a funding agenda coming into this job?
Well, we very clearly, the MTA has suffered in the economic crisis that we have right now, not just because of the loss of ridership, which has been severe, but also because of the tax subsidies supporting the MTA have gone down significantly as well. And the combination of those two things have hurt the MTA quite dramatically and quite significantly. By the way, the same exact thing has happened in London. Exactly the same thing as this global economic crisis hits. So we're not unique in that regard. I am pleased that the governor and the legislature were able to enact an MTA rescue plan earlier this year. I think it gives us the ability to move forward right now, in the short term at least, with some certainty of funding and being able to weather the fiscal crisis. Clearly, there is a need to be able to reestablish the credibility of the organization in terms of its financial management, to win the trust of the public in the way that we're using both the riders' dollars and the tax dollars that, that come to us, and effectively establish good value for the money that we're getting. And that has to be the first priority and is a critical ingredient in being able to engage a longer-term funding process.
How are the finances holding up now that it's been a few months since the legislative compromise? Governor Patterson says the state's finances are still sinking. What about the MTAs?
Well, we are still continuing to see weakness. I mean, some of the figures that I've looked at since coming onto the job show that some of our subsidies are still coming in below levels that even had been expected before. So, you know, we may well pick up the front page of the newspaper and see a discussion about the economy, which gives us some hope and some optimism, and I'd love to have that hope and optimism. That is not yet apparent in the MTA's revenue numbers.
So what are the chances of the kinds of fare hikes or service cuts within the next year that we thought we avoided after the debate in the summer?
Well, we are very carefully dealing with the situation, including the state situation, which you're aware of as well. We're seeking to manage through this right now. We're seeking to ensure that we are using all of our dollars effectively as possible. It's hard to get into hypotheticals right now, and I don't want to be in a situation of giving hypotheticals. I don't know that anything's off the table, but I just think it's too soon to tell what the circumstances will be.
Michael in Washington Heights here on WNYC with the new head of the MTA, Jay Walder. Hi, Michael.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I live in Washington Heights, and I've lived in other parts of Manhattan. And there are these weekend service changes and late-night service changes that have been going on for years and seem to be taking longer than it took to build a system in the first place. And, for example, in Washington Heights, we have to take a shuttle bus so often and so many weekends. And I'm wondering why these resources are being put into sort of these new ideas that are nice but seem to be at the expense of just making sure that basic services are running smoothly.
Mr. Walder, go ahead.
Sure. I very much appreciate the multiple sentiments that you're expressing there. I think customers are frustrated by the length of time it takes to rebuild the transit system, and certainly frustrated by the effect it has on our day-to-day services, whether it is during the day or nights or weekends, and those are where the effects are most prominent. One of the things that we are looking at right now is whether or not we can use the diversions of service to be done even more effectively so that we get more work done during the diversions that we have, hopefully reduce the number that will take place. Second, we're also looking at the process that we have of public information so that people can be aware of the changes that were taking place. I mean, I was greeted in my first weekend back in New York by what was being referred to on the news as the perfect storm of subway diversions. It seemed that every line all across the city was being diverted, and people were overwhelmed by the amount of information that was being provided out there. I think when newscaster said there was 11 pages of information that was out about all the changes that were taking place. Clearly, we need to find a better way of being able to do it. And please recognize that in no way am I arguing that we should move away from fixing the basics. I think we do need to fix the basics. I think we do need to ensure that we have a safe, clean, effective, reliable service that runs on all of our transit properties. But we also have to find ways simultaneous with that to bring customers a greater level of information, a greater level of satisfaction, and make the process of using the MTA even easier than it is today.
I read that you're interested in but have no immediate plans for an off-peak fare for riding the system, lower fares at off-peak hours for the users and for the buses and subways like the commuter trains have. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, if we can implement the type of smart card we were talking about before, the type of new fare card that's there, that gives us an enormous flexibility to be able to think creatively about how we utilize the fare structure in our transit system. Two things are clear. One is that we are no longer a system where we think about one token, one ride. We have a flexibility to be able to do things. And if we think about MetroCard, The greatest benefit that came out of MetroCard was not in making it an electronic token. It was in implementing bus subway transfers and monthly and weekly passes, which were customer innovations. They led in part to the tremendous growth of ridership that we've seen across all of our systems. My point here is, as we look at a new fare card system, as we move forward in that way, let's again look at what our innovations might be. We have a system that is sized to handle the peak. Let's see how we use it most effectively at all times of day. And if pricing is part of that, let's be creative about thinking about that.
John, a taxi driver, I think, at JFK Airport. Yes, John?
Yeah, Brian, I have a question for the new chairman. The question is, on November 1st, you are going to charge 50 cent surcharge that goes to the MTA account. My question is, we have to install a software that will allow us to charge the extra 50 cent. But the drivers and the owners are paying for $75 installation fee so that the MTA will be able to collect money. So I want to ask the chairman why that the drivers have to pay the $75 installation fee. And Brian, if you can ask the Bloomberg 7 o'clock today the same question, I'll be happy.
Thank you. Unfortunately, I'm not a questioner in this mayoral debate. I was in the last one, so I don't get the opportunity to do that. But we'll be airing the debate at 8 o'clock here on WNYC, and I'll be live blogging it at 7 when it's on TV on WNYC.org. Anyway, Mr. Walder, what about John's question with respect to the burden on the taxi drivers?
Well, I think earlier this year when the legislature sought to enact a package of financial measures to support the MTA, one of the measures that was put in place was a measure to be able to collect a surcharge in regard to taxi fares. It is an essential part of supporting the MTA. I know that it would be in everyone's interest to see it happen as efficiently as possible. I'm actually not that familiar with the way in which the funding is being collected on taxis, but I appreciate that we want to make it, and people should be trying to make it as efficient as possible to do it.
I know you're high on bus expansion, bus rapid transit, like the mayor and the transportation commissioner, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the buses are an untapped resource that we have in New York to be able to do much, much more with our transit system. The reality is that we have the ingredients now to be able to deliver a dramatic change in the way that our bus services operate. What does it take? It takes clean, reliable buses. We now have that as a result of the capital program investments that are there. It takes customer information to allow you to know when buses are running, how they're running, when the next bus might be coming. And that does matter to people. Watch anybody who gets to a bus stop, and you'll see that it matters to them. And we can put that in place. GPS tracking devices are available. I can buy one for my car for a little over $100. We need to put that system in place for our buses. We need to be able to get that information out both to bus shelters and to people's mobile cell phones and make it readily available so we take the sense of angst out of using the bus system there.
So here's a request from a listener in Park Slope writing on our webpage. She writes, as a resident of Park Slope, I would like to know how we can get bus service into Manhattan. We have no express buses. But if the Flatbush Avenue bus could continue over the Manhattan Bridge, it would be great. The subway is hard on older people, and a bus option would be great.
Well, I think contained within there, by the way, I think is a critically important part, which is that we need to find a way for the bus that's going along Flatbush Avenue, and I rode that bus just the other day, to find a way for that bus going along Flatbush Avenue to be separated from the traffic that it's caught in on a day-to-day basis and given a clear right-of-way to be able to run.
That's an essential part of the bus rapid transit
model.
It is
the single most important part of that model, because a bus that waits in traffic is basically disadvantaging 75 to 125 people on that bus while it sits in traffic.
Do you like the idea of a shared bus and bike lane that we've heard about proposed, I think, for First Avenue?
Well, I think we have to look at all of those, and I am meeting with the New York City Transportation Commissioner, Jeanette Sadikhan, shortly, and we're going to look at a number of ideas about how we might do things. I'm in favor of addressing this aggressively. I'm in favor of innovation. I'm in favor of camera enforcement of our bus lanes with mounting cameras on buses so that if a person parks in a bus lane, they know that they're making a choice to be able to get a ticket because they are disadvantaging many people on a bus.
The East River tolls that were defeated were supposed to fund the bus rapid transit system. Can you still be aggressive about bus rapid transit, or do you need to go back to that East River tolls proposals or something else for dedicated financing?
Well, I think the issue of the tolls has been dealt with by the legislature recently. We're not going back on that topic. I think the bus rapid transit we have to find a way to be able to deal with the bus system within the resources that we have available to us right now.
Anything else you want to say before you go to our listeners as you get going as head of the MTA?
Well, I'll say thank you for having me. I'm tremendously excited to be back in New York and doing this, and I look forward to chatting again.
Me too. Jay Walder, the new head of the MTA. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up in a minute, we will check in with Tim Noah from Slate about the opt-out public option health care proposal that will now be going to the full Senate floor, according to Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. It is a political risk because as of now, as far as anyone knows, he does not have the 60 votes needed to pass it. And we'll also ask Tim Noah, referencing something that came up last hour, about the time the founder of Baby Einstein was singled out by President Bush in his State of the Union address and why that may have turned out to be a gaffe. Stay with us.